O unique God of all, the Lord of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. We call upon your name this evening as we come to break our fast.
According to the teachings of Islam, Ramadan commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. The word has become the foundation for one of the world's great religions.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. Are we fighting a holy war?
You know, I don't know if that was my exact quote.
It's exact words.
As again we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Give me a break. Something happened on the road to Damascus. John fell off his horse, but he got back up on the same horse.
One of the biggest surprises I had in the last couple of years, and there have been a lot of surprises, was to realize and to discover that in 1973, when Roe v. Wade was finally decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, decriminalizing abortion with one fell swoop from the day of conception to the day of delivery, that even before that landmark Supreme Court decision, there were people, many of them Christian leaders, lobbying for the legalization of abortion. Does that surprise you? I mean, it's commonplace nowadays to find Christian denominations that are soft on abortion or approve of abortion or are in favor of abortion rights. But to have them arguing for it even before it was legalized? We're going to be talking about church denominations and abortion for the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. today. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening live this Tuesday, September the 30th. After our conversation on church denominations and abortion with Dennis DeMauro, we'll be spending some time talking about the United Pentecostal Church and the Trinity. They're sometimes called Oneness Pentecostals because they deny the scriptural doctrine of the Trinity. Dr. Ron Rhodes of Reasons to Believe will be our guest. Gretchen Passantino will come alongside a little bit later to discuss Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year is what it's called, the Jewish New Year. And then in the second hour of the program, we'll remember Jerome. Most people will only passingly remember Jerome. If you're Roman Catholic, you know a little bit more about Jerome than the rest of us because, of course, his translation, his Latin translation of the scriptures so long ago was the standard in Bible translation for centuries, literally centuries. We'll be talking about Jerome, this theologian, scholar, Bible translator, with Pastor Will Whedon. And then Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us. You may have seen the story in the paper about a search for some missing pages, a lot of missing pages, from a 1,000-year-old Hebrew Bible considered to be the standard Bible for people of the Jewish persuasion. Dr. Arthur Just will join us to begin a series on the threefold office of Christ today. Jesus as prophet will be our subject with him. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Dennis DeMauro is a regular guest. He's Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, and author of the book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
So in 1973, did every church denomination, kind of true to form, just come out and oppose Roe v. Wade?
Well, no, not all of them. There were a number of denominations, like the Presbyterian Church USA, or what would become that denomination, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, who made a pro-life move as early as 1963. Now, a number of mainline denominations followed at that time, but there were a couple of strong pro-life witnesses. Of course, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was one, the Roman Catholic Church, naturally, and also the Orthodox Christian denominations were all very pro-life, and there were many others. There were the mainline churches pretty much went into lockstep, and that even included, for a short period of time, the Southern Baptist Convention. They approved of the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision, and in fact called it a advance in the efforts for religious liberty. Now, this changed later in 1979 when they reversed themselves, but I'm sure that's some wordage they'd like to forget.
Oh, I'm certain. Give us the present day lay of the land after 35 years of legalized abortion. When it comes to mainline American denominations, how does it fall out?
Well, it's pretty much the pro-choice denominations would be your the PCUSA, the ELCA, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, and the American Baptist Church. Now, the pro-life denominations now would, of course, be the Southern Baptist, the Missouri Synod. Most of the Pentecostals now and most of the evangelical denominations are also going to be staunchly pro-life, of course, with the Catholics and the Orthodox Christians as well.
What about the various non-denominations? Do we have a feel for where many of them stand on the life issue?
I think that most of them, they can be said to be pro-life. We can assume them to be. Now, when I did my numbers on what the percentages were for pro-life and pro-choice denominations over the in the entire world, I did not really make a statement, and I kind of just assumed them to be pro-choice just to because I didn't have any real hard and fast information on that. But I would assume that my numbers, which showed that 72% of all Christian denominations are pro-life, is in fact going to be a little higher than that.
Okay. Can you give us some idea of it's often been said that the Roman Catholic Church kind of stands as the Hoover Dam holding back the pressure here for a lot of smaller Christian confessions of faith. Can you give us some idea of how stalwart each of these denominations that may be on paper pro-life really are in terms of their pro-life activities?
Well, quite honestly, really, I would say that only the Roman Catholic Church in the United States has really taken a strong stance. Certain bishops have taken strong stands and are willing to preach it, and certain priests are willing to do that. Now, that's probably not the majority, but certainly there are definitely some very, very strong voices in the Roman Catholic Church. There have been also a number of people in the Protestant denominations that I think are really noteworthy, like James Dobson and D. James Kennedy and a number of others. But I think for most part, we're a little bit soft in the Protestant world on speaking out in favor of the gospel of life, and I think that's something we really need to work on.
I mean, we hear from pope after pope. They will all make statements. There will be regular statements from American College of Catholic Bishops. They will be constantly speaking out, sometimes to the chagrin of their own membership, on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though I think you're right. It seems as though there is a bit of silence or kind of complacency on the part of other pro-life denominations not to have this constant voice in defense of the unborn. What accounts for that?
Well, I think the problem is leadership. As long as you are not going to have the heads of those denominations speaking out, I think that the clergy, for the most part, is not probably the most courageous bunch of occupations in the world. And so I think they're going to try to get along with others and not do anything that's controversial. So as long as the leadership of a denomination doesn't speak out, I don't think that the clergy will be empowered or feel comfortable enough to bring it up and take a really bold stand for women and children about abortion.
Talk about some of the pro-life groups that operate under the auspices of various pro-life denominations.
Well, that's why I really, one of the reasons I wrote this book is to show people where they can plug in regarding pro-life. There's kind of this aura about the pro-life movement that it's run by kind of radicals who like to scream at people and things like that. And you see this portrayed in the press all the time. There's this, this screaming in front of abortion clinics and these kinds of things. I've been in the pro-life movement for 11 years now, and I have witnessed such a thing one time. And trust me, I've had many opportunities to see negative activity. For the most part, I find it to be very loving, peaceful, and trying to guide women to a better way. Now, there's a number of great pro-life organizations, even in these mainline groups, and I hope that people will be able to use the book and look at it and say, I want to be pro-life, I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to get stuck in any kind of a nutty group. I want a real strong group that I can trust in and that I can be part of and I can make a difference. And there are some great groups. For instance, Anglicans for Life with the Episcopal Church is an excellent, very strong group. Priests for Life, another great group with the Roman Catholic Church, Lutherans for Life, of course, with the Lutheran Church, Presbyterians Pro-Life, and I have the real honor of being on the National Pro-Life Religious Council with the leaders of these organizations, and they are, to a man and woman, extremely impressive and extremely filled with the Spirit and want to make a difference for the good.
Dennis DeMauro is Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council. Now I know what that means. He's President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life and author of a great book. It's called A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much.
When we come back from this break, Dr. Ron Rhodes is going to join us. Not too far from where I sit is the headquarters of the United Pentecostal Church. Now, it sounds like an ordinary run-of-the-mill Pentecostal church. It's actually sometimes called the Oneness Pentecostal Church. This denomination denies the doctrine of the Trinity. We'll be talking with Dr. Ron Rhodes about that right after this break. By the way, you can find out more about this book by Dennis DeMauro, A Love for Life, on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Go there tonight, click on demand, and you'll find more information on Love for Life. When we come back, Dr. Ron Rhodes of Reasons to Believe will talk about Christians who deny the Trinity. Can you be a Christian and deny the doctrine of the Trinity? That's a good question. We'll begin with that right after this. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens to unborn babies in a partial birth abortion is shocking. Each year, thousands of partial birth abortions are performed in the fifth or sixth month of pregnancy or even later on healthy babies of healthy mothers. One federal judge called partial birth abortion gruesome and barbaric. Yet in spite of overwhelming public support for a ban on this brutal procedure, the Supreme Court ruled that Roe v. Wade not only allows but protects this painful procedure. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Claire Fekencher, Carol Mattson, Gerhard Metzger, Susan Doro, Heinke Metzger, Deborah Meyer, Berlin Clear, Joffrey Ulmer, Earl Iseller, and Joanne Iseller. Thanks for your support.